Well, I've got an important message for you today, and I don't always share my title, but I'm going to share my title, Government Laws and Being a Follower of Christ. Everybody say, ooh, yeah. I am sure, like me, many of you have become very alarmed at what we've been seeing taking place in our country in recent days. And things seem to be unraveling very quickly. We've seen over the last 30 to 40 years a drastic departure from the principles of God's Word that have long served to guide our country. And the pace we seem to be moving at these days away from God seems to be accelerating every day. Now, one of the things that we see rapidly increasing is that we're moving away from a moral standard that we can agree on and collectively aim for, and we're moving toward a worldview that is focused on the individual and the individual doing what is right in their own eyes. This is referred to in the Bible as a spirit of lawlessness, okay? In 2 Thessalonians, the Antichrist is actually called the lawless one, the lawless one. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 6 says this, "For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming." So see here that the Antichrist is referred to as the lawless one because he will have a total disregard for the law of God and he will become a law unto himself. But also notice here that the spirit of Antichrist is already at work in the world. Paul writes there, the secret power of lawlessness is what? Already at work. So we don't have to wait. It's already here. And what we're seeing in our country today is we actually have lawmakers that are encouraging people to break the law. That is a spirit of lawlessness. Listen. The vision of our nation's founders would be that we would be a nation that would be governed by laws. We were never meant to be a nation that would be governed by leaders. We were always meant to be a nation that would be governed by the people and of the people. I got that backwards. Of the people, by the people, and for the people. We are not to be governed by leaders. We are to be governed by laws. But what we're seeing today, what we're seeing in the news, is that we have leaders that have taken almost dictatorial powers and have come to believe that they are the ones who are in charge of our country. And they have the right to make the rules. We have governors and mayors who are personally deciding what laws they will enforce and what laws they will ignore. That is the spirit of lawlessness. For example, many of our leaders have allowed crowds of people to gather together to riot and loot, at the same time forbidding people to gather together to worship Jesus. The mayor of Seattle allowed a group of criminals to take over a police precinct and several city blocks. She allowed that, but when the protesters showed up at her house, she told the police to get to work. Many of our government officials have simply lost their way. When spitting on police officers is applauded by government officials, but singing in church is outlawed, we have a problem. Church, we need to pray for our nation. we need to pray for those in authority, from our president on down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1 says this, "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the church, of the truth." So church, our first responsibility as Christians, our first responsibility as citizens is prayer. All right? It's prayer. Vote? Absolutely, you better. Engage in social conversation? Yeah, as long as you can do it in a loving way. Right? Protest? Sure, if you do it peacefully. But most importantly, we must get on our knees and cry out to Almighty God for revival in our nation. Number one responsibility is to pray for our country. Be engaged. Be involved. Be responsible. And pray. Now, I want you to hear the heart of God in this passage. And I want to remind you that God is not against people. He is for people. He wants who to be saved? All, right? Okay. So we have to be careful from adopting this us versus them mentality, right? That says, hey, I'm on team Jesus. We're the good guys. You're the bad guys. We will defeat you. Okay? Anytime we start thinking to ourselves, you're bad and I'm good, we have forgotten the gospel. We have forgotten that each and every one of us is saved by grace alone, in Christ alone. Amen? So the battles, remember this church, that we're engaged in, they're not with people. They're not with people. Ephesians chapter 6, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. All right? So that's where the real battle is. So how are we as Christians to respond to a government that's rapidly moving further and further away from God? Okay? We're going to give you a couple of scriptures here, and we're going to base these things on the Word of God. It's so important, church, to remember that we live kingdom down and not culture up. Kingdom down and not culture up. Okay? So what I mean by that is we have laws of the land, but we also have the laws of God. And the laws of God are higher laws. So for example, there's no law in our land against adultery. But there is God's law, which is against adultery. Right? There's no law against bitterness. But God commands us not to have a bitter heart. There's no law against unforgiveness, but God commands us to forgive and be gracious and be loving. Amen? So the law of God is the higher law. And so we want to live kingdom down, not culture up. Because we have a lot of Christians whose worldview has been shaped more by Disney movies than the Bible. It's the truth. So what does the Bible have to say about how we are to respond to governmental authority? Okay? I'm going to give you three passages of scripture that are pretty straightforward. Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 5. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is why you also pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Now, how many of you right now would just say, Ben, I wish that was not in the Bible? Right? Pastor Tim, I don't like the version of the Bible you're using. Okay. So, according to Paul here, there's two reasons. He gives two reasons why we should submit to governmental authority. The first one is because of possible punishment. Okay? And the second one, he says, and this is the more important one, he says, as a matter of conscience. These are why you obey the laws. This is why you pay taxes. In the gospel, Jesus, when asked if it was lawful to pay taxes to the Roman government, told people, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar's and to God what belongs to God. Okay? Now, I want you to take note of something in this passage of Scripture. This is why you pay taxes, for authorities are God's servants. Now, you might think to yourself, God's servants, only godly people can be God's servants. No, that's not true. God uses godly people, but God also uses ungodly people all the time, all throughout the Bible. In fact, in Jeremiah 25, the Lord refers to the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar as my servant. So God does use godly people, but he also uses ungodly people to carry out his plans. Okay? Let's look at another passage. Titus chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always be gentle toward everyone. So it's not evidently unchristian to submit to governmental authority. When we do it, we're actually submitting ourselves to God's word, and by doing that, we're submitting ourselves to God. So when we do some of these things, don't see it as I'm submitting to this person. No, see it as submitting to God, because it's in his word, right? All right, one more. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Say, Tim, I don't trust the government. Welcome to the club. I don't trust the government either. And I don't think Peter or Paul trusted the government either when they wrote those things. In fact, think about it. Peter and Paul were eventually put to death by the government. And if you have this win-loss mentality, you might be tempted to think, well, man, the government won and Peter and Paul lost. You couldn't be more wrong. Peter and Paul were the winners. Yeah. So nowhere in here does it say in those three scriptures that I have to trust the government, agree with the government, or even like the government. As followers of Christ, we submit to the laws of the land, not because we're submitting to human beings, but because we're submitting to God. Okay, now, are there any exceptions to these three passages of Scripture? And some of you are like, yeah, Tim, you're getting to the good part now. Bring it on. Okay. So there's two exceptions that I think are very clear in the Scripture. Okay? And by the way, I know this is a completely different conversation from a constitutional conversation. That's a whole nother thing. Okay? So I'm talking about, you know, what does the Bible have to say here? Okay? Are there exceptions to these commands? So there are. In the Bible, I see two different exceptions. One would be the limiting or restricting of the preaching of the gospel. Okay, so in Acts chapter 4, the disciples are brought in before the Sanhedrin, which is the Jewish leadership council, and they are commanded not to preach about Jesus anymore. It says, when they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus, but Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. How many of you just love it? Amen? Yeah. And so I have no doubt that eventually all or parts of the Bible are going to be labeled as hate speech and made illegal. When that happens, I will happily go to prison. And I will do my best to be like the Apostle Paul and lead my fellow prisoners to Christ and the guards too. So this is the exception, okay? The other exception would be, of course, that we cannot be compelled to sin against God. And so there's multiple examples of that in the Bible. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come to mind as they're standing there before the fiery furnace, and they're commanded to bow down, which they knew violated the command of God. And they said, do what you want to us. We will not bow down because it's a sin. Right? We'll not do it. And they were willing to suffer the consequences. Okay? So now, what about masks? The elephant in the room. Listen, I want to say, first of all, I'm not going to try to change anybody's mind about masks, okay? I'm only going to talk about how we, as a church, decided how to proceed, okay? Because some of you have been like, Pastor Tim, how can you do this to us? Listen, I didn't do it. And nobody from Salem called and asked my opinion. I mean, they should have, but they didn't, okay? So I'm going to ask for a little grace here among our church family. With all of this, guys, we're dealing with stuff that they never taught me in Bible college, right? And we're getting information and lack of information. We're having to make decisions. For example, we found out on a Monday about the mask rule. By Tuesday, we had to decide what we were going to do about it, okay? So that's just the reality. So I'm going to ask for a little grace. I know some of you feel like we haven't done enough to protect people's health and we don't even care about people. Some of you think we've aligned ourselves with the Antichrist and we've gone too far. I assure you, neither one of those extremes is the truth, all right? So what did we do? How did we, and by the way, I'm not even talking about the medical side of things today because I'm a pastor, not a doctor. All right, so that's a whole nother conversation. And certainly, if you've got medical reasons for not wearing a mask, you shouldn't wear one, right? So we're not talking about that. So basically, as a church, we felt like, well, we got four options now. First of all, we could just disregard the whole mask thing and go on with life as usual. But we didn't see putting on a face covering as a sin, right? So uncomfortable, yes. Awkward, yes. Whatever, you know, don't like it. We didn't see it as a sin, so we didn't feel like we could disregard Romans 13, Titus 3, and 2 Peter 2. All right? Option number two, move services outside, which I think is a great idea. Not real practical for us to do it every single week. But I will say this, big announcement this morning. Next Sunday, we're going to have church right out there on the lawn, okay? And you won't need a mask, okay? We'll still need to social distance and all of that, you know, wash your hands, all those things, you know, don't go up and just grab people. But we're going to go outside next Sunday. Now, in order to accommodate that, okay, we have to change the time up a little bit because it starts getting hot this time of the year. And this is one of the reasons we thought, man, we don't know if we can do this every week is because of the heat. So we're going to start service at 9 o'clock next week. Is that too early for you, Don? Oh, Vicky. All right. So service next week, 9 o'clock, out on the lawn. You'll need to bring chairs. Okay, bring your own chair. You could even bring a blanket. There's a nice hillside. The cool thing, it's set up perfect out there, honestly. It's set up, I'm pointing the wrong way, this way. It's set up perfect because there's a nice flat area, and then there's also a slopey hill. And so you can sit on the hill if you want. You can bring chairs and sit on the flat part if you want. It's going to be great. I'm going to ask this. Let's leave that lower area of parking for our seniors, because we don't want our seniors to have to park up here and then try to walk down the hill. Fair enough? And it's going to be awesome. So, in fact, and the staff is just now hearing this from me. Not about that, but about this. I've been thinking about this. In order to not be confused every week about what time we're having church, like, we'll try to tell you if it's going to be on the lawn or inside, but every week for the rest of the summer, church will be at 9 o'clock. Okay? Got that, folks? Okay. Rest of summer, 9 o'clock. That way we don't have to, like, is it 9 or 10 this week? It's always at 9. What time does church start next week? 9 o'clock. All right? 9 o'clock. So that's option number two, is to move outside. Option number three in our minds was put up the state-mandated signs and ask people to wear face coverings, okay? Personally, I feel like coming to church wearing a mask is better than not wearing a mask and staying home. David wrote, better is one day in your house than thousands elsewhere. And I got to tell you, I wore a mask Friday night at worship night. It was uncomfortable, but I was so glad I was here. I was so glad I was here to just worship the Lord. Amen? Okay. Now, option number four was go back to service online only, and we didn't want to do that. So, what if the government starts requiring vaccinations? What if we move to a cashless society? What if we're told to stop preaching the Bible? Okay? All these things could happen, and we will cross those bridges when we get there, and we will be guided by the Word of God and the Spirit of God and not pressured by anybody when we make those decisions. Right? Okay? So, for right now, I'm going to ask three things of you, all right? Everybody smile. If you're wearing a mask, smile underneath your mask. I can tell by looking at your eyes if you're smiling or not. Okay? Number one, let's not let this divide us. Can you say amen to that? Let's not let this divide us. I refuse. I love you. And I refuse to let this stand between me and you. I won't do it. Okay? Can we agree on that? Yeah. Number two, let's keep loving people. Keep loving people. Yeah. It's the hallmark of the Christian life. Jesus said, by this all men will know that you're my disciples. Right? By your love for one another. You know, it's easy when we feel like we're under attack, it's easy to lash back. Right? So easy. Peter comes to mind. When they came to arrest Jesus in the garden, he goes for the sword, right? And evidently he wasn't very practiced at it because, you know, got the guy's ear. And Jesus says in essence, hey, put away your sword. Don't you understand that I'm in control here? Don't you understand that I was in angels right now? I could do it. They're at my disposal. So I want to just remind you in all of this, Jesus is still on the throne. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. And he doesn't need you pulling out a sword to try to fight for him. He's very much in control and in charge. Okay? Keep loving people. Be patient. Be patient in this time. None of us loves patience, but we got to learn to be patient. Okay? Be patient. And by the way, I'll throw this in for free. Don't give that 17-year-old down there at the store that's asking you to wear a mask a bad time. please. They're just trying to keep their job. And in fact, the store owner, all he's trying to do is keep his business open. Right? So whether you like to wear a mask or don't like to wear a mask, don't get mad at them. Not their fault. All right? Everybody agree on that? Keep loving people. Keep loving people. And then number three, let's keep talking about Jesus. Keep talking about Jesus. Amen? Yeah. I don't know about you. I'm just flat out tired of talking about politics and masks, and I just want to talk about Jesus. Yeah. Let's talk about Jesus. He is the answer. Stay connected to him. Stay close to him. Listen, be aware of the news. You know, check the news out, but don't lodge yourself there. Right? You're just going to get depressed and angry. Yeah. I mean, figure out what's going on. Turn your TV off and talk to Jesus. Spend time with him. And you're just going to see, it's just going to help your spirit so much. I'm preaching out of personal experience here, okay? Yeah. Keep talking about Jesus. You know, the fact is, when the judgment of God comes upon our world, it's going to be a judgment for the sins of our world, for sure. But it's more than that. It's deeper than that. Jesus also wants to purify his people. He wants to purify us. And in all the trying times that we go through, never forget to be looking inside and saying, Lord, in this, what do you want to do in my heart? What are you doing right here? Because Jesus is purifying us. One of the things that we people are kind of telling us is that, you know, as we've gone to online church, that a lot of people just aren't going to come back to church because they like watching online. And God bless you if you're watching online. I'm glad you are. But eventually, we need to come back to church. We do. We do. And so this is going to be a testing for a lot of people that haven't been in church for a long time. You know, where is your heart? Where's your heart? It's going to be a test to see how we respond to these different things. Can we, when we feel attacked, can we respond with love? Because Jesus taught us, you know, it's easy to love the people that love us. That's the easy part. Who doesn't? Who doesn't love people that love them? The real test comes when, how do I respond to people that aren't so loving toward me? That's the real test of discipleship. So there's going to be a testing. There's going to be a time of purifying. And listen, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here, but things aren't going to get easier. In the last days, things are going to get more difficult and more trying. I mean, that's just reality. Some of you will remember, oh, that's a rabbit trail, but I'll take it anyway. This was a lot of years ago, but some guy, and he was really like on Christian TV and stuff, he was prophesying that all the evil was going to be ripped out of the world. And he even had a date for it. All the evil, and he had a date, every evil thing's going to be ripped out of the world, everybody's going to be healed of sickness and disease, and everybody's like, oh, that's so awesome, awesome. And I had a church member, what do you think about that? I said, I don't even have to think about it. That's not what the Bible says. Things aren't going to get better for us, folks, until Jesus comes back. Amen? So it takes patience and it takes pressing into the Lord. Listen, again, not being Debbie Downer, if you think this is bad, right, it's only going to get worse. So this is like training exercises, right? God's getting us ready. God's getting us ready. Now, here's the flip side. At the same time that things get worse, Jesus is also purifying his church and preparing us for great things in the days ahead. So there are going to be challenging times, but I believe the best days for the church are still ahead of us. I believe God is going to do awesome things through his church. Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Amen? We will be victorious church, right? So you keep on pressing into Jesus and know that he's got this. He's going to carry you through every bit of it, right? Stay close to the Lord and follow him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm done preaching. Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's say thanks to the Lord right now. And our worship team, I think we're going to sing another song here. That'd be awesome. All right. Lift your hands up to the Lord right now. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah, God. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we need you like never before. We need you like never before. We need your power. We need your love. We need your grace. Lord, we need your joy. We need your joy, Lord. We need your joy. God, I pray right now a supernatural release of joy in the house, Lord, that the joy of the Lord would be our strength. Hallelujah. We rejoice in you, Jesus, through the good times, through the bad times, through the trials, through the tribulations. We rejoice in you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and fill us and empower us, your people. God, let nothing divide us, Lord. Help us, Lord, keep loving people. Keep loving people. And help us, Lord, to keep talking about Jesus. To keep talking about you. Hallelujah. Because you are the hope of the world. You are the hope of the world. Hallelujah. Come on, church, let's praise him.